Welcome to the Extra Business Edition podcast with Ted Robertson, proudly serving and supporting you and the success of your business. The Extra Business Edition is a production of the KRDO Network. And now, Ted Robertson.
Well, good morning and happy Friday. It's the Extra Business Edition. I'm Ted Robertson, and I am here with Mr. Brian Grossman, who is the editor of the Colorado Springs Business Journal. For you marketers, for you managers, for you decision makers, for you entrepreneurs and inventors and makers and business owners, today is all about information and how critical information is to the success of your business. Think about it. Knowledge is power. Yes? Brian, welcome.
Oh, well, thank you, Ted. Glad to be here.
It's been too long since we've gotten to hang out.
It has been
a little while,
yeah.
It's good to see you back. It's good to have you back. I know this was kind of a short notice thing for you, but I know my imagination is sparked.
Yeah.
I'm always jazzed when we get a chance to really kind of dig in here and give people who are in business and looking to profit from the work that they do information that will serve them well.
Right.
So we are, as I say, all about how information is key to the success of your business. So we're going to talk about how to gather it. We're going to talk about what kind of information is important.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that from the perspective of somebody who does this in service to the business community, and that's you in the Business Journal.
So
why don't you go ahead and frame this part of the discussion for us?
Okay. Well, I thought, it's interesting to look at news as more than just something that people pick up, read, put down, and then go about their day. Especially at the Business Journal, we look to collaborate. We're a business-to-business publication, so we don't write news stories for the consumer necessarily. It's all about business and how to make your business better, things you should know that's happening in the community that would actually benefit your bottom line. And so we do look at our news gathering as being a little more of a collaborative approach, not just telling somebody a story, but once we do this story, how is this going to benefit our reader? And then what can we do beyond that to build on it? So, whether you and I had spoken before we started on the air, anything from employment numbers, we're talking about living in one of the fastest growing places, not only in Colorado, but the country. And El Paso County is expected to be bigger than Denver County here in the next decade or so. So there's tons of opportunity for business right now. The economy is as strong as it's ever been here that I've seen. And I think businesses need these kinds of resources, both KRDO and the Business Journal, to make the best sort of business decisions in this really fast-growing time.
Well, and that's what's really interesting about this phenomena, this economic phenomena. We are riding a wave of prosperity.
Yes.
And when we look at publications like yours, who are in the business of gathering information, we're really looking at an organization that's done a lot of legwork for us. So how do we leverage that as business owners?
Well, one thing that we do, reporters in any industry can only be an expert up to a certain point. And so I think your resources within the community say a lot about the sort of information you're gathering. So we try to work with the experts in their fields. There are a lot of industries that are expanding in Colorado. In Colorado Springs, you have healthcare. So who do you talk to when it comes to healthcare? There are some big names in healthcare in Colorado Springs right now where we can get the information we need to pass on to physician groups, to people who are in school to become nurses, physician assistants, the gamut. You can read about that sort of information in the Business Journal. Who's hiring? How fast is healthcare growing in Colorado Springs? We have a third hospital system coming online here in just a bit with Children's Hospital. So another example would be cybersecurity. That's a huge industry in Colorado Springs right now, growing really rapidly. What sort of opportunities are available if I move to Colorado Springs and I want to get into cybersecurity? Where can I find that sort of information? Well, there are experts in Colorado Springs that can tell you at the NCC, at Catalyst Campus.
NCC being National Cybersecurity Center.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah.
The Air Force Academy. There's a lot of civilian work that happens there. With the military, so
the DOD economy here is huge.
It is maybe too big, but
well, that's one of the things that is discussed quite a bit, actually.
Right.
When there are surveys done by the Chamber of Commerce, for example, or Summit Economics, these are well-known organizations that commission these surveys. At one point, we find the DOD military sector with retirees, with active duty, and with the contractors involved. is roughly 50 to 51% of our economy here.
Yep.
That worries us sometimes because some people can couch that or interpret that as our eggs all being in one basket. So if you are a business owner, how does that information benefit you?
Oh, government contracts. You know, we talked about resource and you brought up some good resources there. PTAC, the Technical Procurement.
Procurement Technical Assistance.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So they work with civilians who are interested in contracting with the government. And when half of your economy is made up of the government, there are some contracts to go around. So yeah, it's a good opportunity.
Yeah. And not an easy world to get into.
No.
I mean, more often than not anymore. You can do various different statuses under the Small Business Administration that's historically underutilized. There are even economic empowerment zones now. There are set-asides. There's 8A status, for example, if you are a Hispanic female or a veteran and you own a business.
Correct.
That gives you some preference, but you still have to meet more stringent criteria than ever.
Yep.
You've got to be able to show that you can protect information.
Big time.
I mean, this has been a huge, huge impact on how you get into the contracting world. So there are primes.
Yep.
And there are subs. More often than not, you as business owners who want to get into contracting in the DoD space, you really need to work with a prime to become a sub first.
Right.
And grow into the possibility of becoming a prime. But believe me, that territory is very limited and very competitive.
And Ted, you're right, especially on protecting information. It is getting more difficult for subcontractors to keep up with the parameters. Legal parameters set to be able to do defense contracting. So PTAC is a good resource for something like that. They can help people with cybersecurity and making sure that when you're transferring information, because you have to keep in mind, it's not just your information that you're transferring. There are layers to this and there could be a lot of trouble to get into if it's not done right.
Brian Grossman, the editor at the Colorado Springs Business Journal, thank you for being here to be a resource for business owners today. We're going to take a quick break. The Extra Business Edition will be back in just a couple of minutes. A beautiful Friday morning here in the Pikes Peak region, and so glad all of you have joined us today. I'm with Mr. Brian Grossman, who's the editor of the Colorado Springs Business Journal, and thank you again, Brian, for coming and serving as a resource to the business community.
Sure.
We talked a little bit about government contracting, getting into the DoD space, gathering the information. Where do you go to learn how to do that?
Yeah.
Procurement technical assistance is one of them. Certainly, you know, we'll probably get to the Pikes Peak Library District and Terry Zarsky, too, as one of our national treasures.
Great.
And yes, she is. You know, how do you divine trends out of news stories that you read in publications like the Business Journal? You want to talk about, in this segment, you want to talk about things like economic numbers, economic indicators, things that are hugely important to business.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, something I'd mentioned before we came back on air was workforce development and that kind of thing.
Yep.
We talked about the growth of El Paso County before we went off the air. And I thought I'd share kind of a cool story of the collaboration between news and the business community and how that deals with workforce development and growing the next generation of business people. I was fortunate enough through, I'm not really sure how it came to my attention, but Sean Gullickson, who's VP of
Vector Bank.
Yep.
He's also a member of the D11.
Exactly.
School
board. And it was more in that capacity. We talked and he had mentioned that there was a class at Palmer High School that was involved. It's technically a game design class, but they were doing a lot within the field of virtual reality and augmented reality. Things along that line. And they were working with a group out of Saipan, which is near Guam, in creating a Battle of Saipan virtual museum based on some 3D scans that a university had done. So it's very technical and complex, but it was really cool that these high school kids were essentially doing that. And the Business Journal thought that was a great thing. And so we've actually teamed up with them to do some augmented reality publications for us in the coming year. And I, just before meeting them, had spoken with Chris Lydell with the U.S. Olympic Museum. And he comes from the Smithsonian and National Geographic and actually was very involved in this sort of virtual reality motion capture world and really wanted to meet these kids at Palmer High School. So I made a electronic introduction, and at some point I think they're going to meet up and talk about future collaborations. And I just thought that was a really interesting example of how a news story brought together members of the community, the business community, both future and present, in a project that's really going to develop these kids, you know, going forward. So just as far as workforce development goes, I think there's a lot going on in Colorado Springs that people don't know about.
Very true. And there has to be.
Yeah.
Because our economy is so hot right now.
Right.
Unemployment is so low right now
that
the workforce is very thin.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard, even especially for service providers, especially for the technical trades.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult. And what I marvel at about this community and about these collaborative efforts that you're involved in, for example, is that you are shining the light on efforts that are underway. So, I mean, they're coming out of District 11. We're going to see programs from there under the new superintendent, for example, and Sean Gullickson very much instrumental in that.
Right.
We've even got manufacturers who are setting up their own schools and their own operations to train their own staff.
Yep.
We have technical schools now coming back. They're making a resurgence. You and I were raised in the days of when
shop
technical
class.
Schools. Yes, we had shop class. We had technical vocation education.
Right.
That went away for a while. It seemed to lean towards the arts.
Yep.
And now it's coming back because the school systems are rising to this challenge. And we've, in order to keep our economy going, we have to have workforce development.
Well, and you're right about rising to the, it's a necessity. And in places like Colorado Springs, where you do have certain shortages, there's a physician shortage, you know, and it's pretty bad in El Paso County. I've heard, and don't quote me on this necessarily, but, you know, 300 physicians short within the county to be where we should be. You talked about trade schools, and there's another really neat story that happened in Colorado Springs. It actually started out in Peyton, where I think about $500,000 worth of woodworking equipment was donated to Peyton, and they built this state-of-the-art woodworking shop in the middle of nowhere in the Peyton School District. And at first, you know, there were a couple kids dabbling. Widefield School District heard about it. Then they started busing kids to Peyton to partake in these sort of trade training classes. And then Peyton and Widefield got together a few years ago and bought an old potato chip factory down by Colorado Springs Airport, and they opened the Mill Academy. And I think they're partners at this point, but essentially it's a giant warehouse space with probably more than $1 million of donated state-of-the-art high-tech woodworking and trade equipment that these kids are working on now. And I'd heard that they were going to transition to the community college and let those kids come in. If you're a transitioning veteran, those veterans would be able to come in and learn how to improve on the trades that they already know and get good jobs when they're done.
And another couple of stories that aren't told very often, and we try to do that here at KRDO, particularly with PTEC, which is the James Irwin Charter School.
Right.
And they are a vocational technical. You can get in there and get out of there as a senior with an AA, with an associate's degree.
Yeah.
But it's trades.
Right.
They have set up a program where they are constructing an actual home.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, interesting stuff. And then there's one that's really unsung, I think. It's the D11 project. It's the Wasson campus.
Yeah.
That was
that's a good point.
In 6 months,
three
guys got the directive from, from the superintendent, turn this thing into a real school that develops real workforce.
Right.
And so they have multiple tracks, anything from tech to information and cybersecurity,
catering,
to the trades, to catering.
Yep.
They
automotive.
Have on site there are facilities where you can have your kids watched while you're going to school.
Right.
And as I say, multiple tracks. And again, another one of those operations where you can get out of there with an associate's degree. And there's no extra cost to parents.
Right. And they have flexible hours for people who can't do traditional hours. And not only do they leave with a degree, a lot of times they leave with a job already.
Yes. Yep.
They are in, those schools are in close relationship with employers. Pikes Peak Community College is a great example of staying in collaboration with the business community. They create curriculum around what it is that the business community needs, and then they produce 2-year graduates. They even have bachelor's degrees now at Pikes Peak Community College. So you can get a 4-year degree at PPCC and come out with a much better chance of getting a job.
And here's the beauty of this. Again, it goes back to information.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge is power.
Yep.
Now you know, business owners, entrepreneurs, decision makers, you know that you can go to a place like Wasson, Pikes Peak Community College, PTEC, the James Irwin Charter School System. You can go to Peyton, and you can go to the Widefield School District.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are bunches and bunches of places that have risen to this challenge, and you can find staff.
Yep.
you can find trained, skilled people. Interestingly enough, we're kind of busting that out of that mold here in the Springs where college is king.
Yeah.
It's not anymore.
Yeah.
Kids who want to make a good living and get into the trades can get out of those schools and be anywhere from $60,000 to $90,000 walking into a trade.
In the black, yeah. In the,
yes.
Yeah. Right without that student loan
without debt. Student debt.
Yeah, and that's a huge deal.
And, you know, if you want to go be a grown-up and go to college, do that while you're making all that money.
Yeah.
And again, you're not going to incur any debt. We've got to get to a break here, Brian. We have lots to talk about when we get back to the next segment. You're listening to the Extra Business Edition. Thank you for being with us this morning. We'll be back in a few minutes. And welcome back to the Extra Business Edition. Ted Robertson here with Mr. Brian Grossman, editor of the Colorado Springs Business Journal. And today's program is all about information and how you can leverage information to do really good things for your business. Mm-hmm. So this one is for business owners, entrepreneurs, makers, inventors, everybody who makes decisions, and even marketing and advertising folks for businesses, because in the next segment, I'm going to be joined by a colleague from KRDO, Roger Severson, and we're going to talk about how to mine information that will feed into your marketing and advertising programs, strategies, and tactics. But now, Brian, you brought up something really interesting. Hubs of economic activity.
Sure, yeah.
Corridors of commerce here in Colorado Springs. Does that mean that once I see that information, I can interpret that as a business owner or somebody making those decisions? Do I need to move my business to a place that's more of a hotbed of commerce? And you, reporting on these things all the time, know where those areas are.
Yeah. Well, Colorado Springs is about 200 square miles. It's an enormous city as far as land area goes. I believe the city is even bigger than the city of Denver as far as sprawl. And we talked about earlier how the population is kind of catching up with the physical size. So Colorado Springs is almost like multiple cities these days. I think it's really important for our business to know what areas are doing which sorts of things when it comes to commerce and that. I think one important thing to look at is downtown Colorado Springs, which for years didn't have a very big population 24/7. There were some neighborhoods on the periphery of downtown. And then just within the past, 5 years, we've seen several apartment complexes open, several more that are already under construction. You know, Blue Dot's done.
Yep.
Echo is done, which is hundreds of units, I believe. And
yep, we're building up. We're doing infill.
Yep. Starting to do some infill, which is a great thing. But, for those hospitality industry, there really wasn't a big reason to be downtown after 6 o'clock. Everybody went home.
The sidewalks rolled.
Yeah. And if you look at downtown these days, it's a much different story. Lots of restaurants are moving in, some famous chefs, in Colorado Springs, opening some places. So, that's just one example of
the culinary scene here has really started to come into its own.
Yeah. It's great.
We are becoming a travel destination for people who are foodies.
Yep.
We've got it here now, and they stay open late.
Right.
And so there is all kinds of stuff. So if you're a business and you are a foot traffic-based business, is that the kind of place that you want to locate to?
Yeah, well, one of the adages is rooftops. You need rooftops, and now there are rooftops downtown. So that's a good example of knowing what's happening in the central business district and why you should be there. But maybe downtown's not your thing. There are manufacturing companies here and they're not going to locate in downtown. Tech companies might not. So there are places all over Colorado Springs for everybody, from sort of the retail heavy east side to maybe the more manufacturing heavy south side. And then, you got the military bases too. We talked about, civilians contracting with military bases. So it never hurts to be close to them either.
No, that's very true.
Yep.
And, the corridors continue to move east. At one time it was Academy, but even Academy is making a comeback in certain areas.
It is, some spots are.
We see a lot of activity there. Even North Nevada, of course, look what happened to that in the last 10 years.
Right.
So
you can thank UCCS for a lot of that.
Oh, goodness. Yes, you can. The expansion of their operation, even UC Health doing all the things that it's doing, is bringing people to these areas and look at University Village.
Right.
Yeah. So if you are a retail operation.
Yep.
But and of course, entrepreneurs, people like that love to come to Colorado Springs. They may not be doing business directly in the springs, mm-hmm. but they bring dollars to the economy. So we love to encourage that as well. So we've built an economic or an entrepreneurial ecosystem here where we can incubate, mm-hmm. we can help grow, and yep. we can help people get their businesses up and running.
Well, another important point is we're becoming a little more accessible with the I-25 gap improvement. We'll see how that goes.
That has been a huge problem because it's cost businesses thousands and thousands of dollars a year in overtime,
right.
in extra vehicle maintenance.
Gridlock.
All the gridlock.
Sitting on the interstate.
Somebody does something stupid just about every day.
Right.
And you hear another story every day.
Yeah, you'll have to pay to use it, but hopefully that'll take some of the...
Well, that's just one lane.
It is, yeah. You won't have to pay to use the whole thing, don't get me wrong. But
yeah, and I still think that the third lane, even if you have to pay for it, it's going to relieve...
Right.
a lot of stress on those other two lanes, and it's going to open up that bottleneck, which is desperately needed.
Well, and a ripple effect that you're going to see if you're in real estate, keep an eye on that, because Denver's housing market has become so expensive that for a few years now, you've seen commuters who have decided to live in El Paso County.
A bedroom community is what we're
becoming. And then drive to the north, right? Not just commute to Colorado Springs. So
Monument is big for that. Mm-hmm, Woodmore.
Monument, Palmer Lake, all that. And when you see traffic flowing a little more quickly, it will become even more desirable to live in those communities because you're not going to be in traffic as long.
This is where this gets super interesting, this business of gathering, interpreting, and leveraging information.
Sure.
We can talk about a 17-mile gap.
Yep.
Everybody complains about the traffic being a pain in the butt there, but what happens when that artery opens up?
Right.
How does that affect your business?
Yeah.
Positively.
And your housing costs and property costs.
So you can now anticipate mm-hmm. that you're going to have a growth spurt in your business if somehow or another your business is dependent on that corridor.
Sure.
And so now's the time you may want to invest.
Yeah.
You may want to staff up. You may want to expand. Mm-hmm. You want to be ready for that new blast of commerce that's coming your way.
Yep.
That's why information is king.
It is. And you would also know that people are talking about an upcoming recession. So maybe maybe you would want to explore those numbers more before you expand your business.
And we're an interesting city that way.
We are.
You could watch us. I came here in the very, very early 90s, and those were the days when the peaks and valleys were violent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's flattened out a little bit. And the reason is because we have so much more commerce, so much more business, and so many more people that we can absorb the impact of a downturn in the economy more so than we ever could before.
Right. Well, and the 50% DOD doesn't hurt in recovering from downturns because, military, they don't tend to suffer like private businesses do when a recession hits. You still have
also true
those resources. So Colorado Springs is a little slower to feel the downturn, but it's also a little slower because of the DOD presence to pull itself out. And you saw that with the Great Recession about 10 years ago.
So Brian, what would you offer business owners, entrepreneurs, makers, inventors, decision makers, marketing, advertising types? What would you offer them as a couple of takeaways as we wrap this up?
Even though Colorado Springs is a big town, it's a small town. So get out there and network, get to know as many people as you possibly can, especially within your industry, but even outside your industry. One of the amazing things about the city is everybody's willingness to share how they got where they are today, to help out. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody saying, get out of my office in Colorado Springs. So it's a great community that way.
Well, there are some people that find me an office in Colorado Springs.
Right, yeah. There are ways to do that too. So
Brian Grossman, editor of the Colorado Springs Business Journal, we appreciate you very, very much for coming in and being willing to be a resource for us today. And I'm hoping that we get to work together more not long from now.
Me too. Thanks, Ted.
All right, let's go to a break. Well, the Extra Business Edition will be back in just a couple of minutes with Roger Severson. Welcome back to the Extra Business Edition on a wonderful Pikes Peak Region Friday. For you business owners, for you marketing and advertising types, for you decision makers, for you managers, for you entrepreneurs, you startups, you inventors, you makers, you've got to have information because you've got to be able to market your products and services. Joining me now is Mr. Roger Severson, who is part of the KRDO Network marketing team here. And he's got some best practices to share with you, especially in terms of questions you ought to be asking, things you ought to be reflecting on as you start to explore marketing and advertising possibilities for the things that you're doing to make money and earn a profit. Roger, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me on. I think this is important information to have. I mean, every business has to have a clear picture of who their customer base are. I remember sitting with a client one time, and you know, he's going, well, it's 8 to 80, you know, it's men, women, children, you know. And I said, but if you had to bet me $100 who the next person walks in through the door would be, tell me who that would be. So once you have an idea of who that person is, your core, it makes it a little bit easier to appeal to them, either, you know, through your marketing or how your store is laid out, or you know, what products you offer once you have it. I've had a lot of people trying to, you know, appeal to the fringes. And your core is your core for a reason. You know, make sure that you're speaking to them, because they're the people that are coming in automatically. Developing a fringe is always a difficult process.
You know, business owners ought to ask themselves who are, to describe 7 out of 10. Of the clients that they do business with.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an interesting question to ask, especially from your perspective, Roger, because you get the fringe answers. And this is not what we're looking for. A business owner, if you don't know who those people are, then you might need some more research. You might really need to take a second look.
That's correct. You know, and one of the worst questions that a business owner or their staff can ask, how'd you hear about us? Because that information is critical to them. It's not so critical to the person giving the answer. They just kind of feel like they have to give you an answer, so it's not always correct. And there was actually a client of mine a long time ago, you know, again, we'd go round and round about where people were hearing about it or seeing it or that. So I suggested he come up with a comment card. On that comment card, there was an opportunity to win a $50 gift certificate. And, you know, they filled out some basic demographic information. And then they would say, you know, how did you hear about our business? And I insisted that they put every radio station, TV station, newspaper, everything on there. And at the end of the month, when they went through there, they found out that people were checking boxes on places they had never marketed. Because, again, it's not important to the customer, and they believe what they were checking. So, you know, it just shows that asking people isn't always the best way. But I do have some questions that are a lot better for, and they're not so specific as to how'd you hear about us. The first one that I would encourage people to ask is when you're looking for a sale or promotion, where do you go for that? Do you go online? Do you read the paper? Do you radio, TV? So you get a better picture of their overall, where they're coming from. And then, you know, you could ask them, well, what radio stations do you like? Or what TV stations do you like? What programs do you watch? And again, or what sections of the paper do you read, or, you know, what websites do you like to visit when you're researching this information coming in to the store? You can also ask them, how often do you use that medium? And also, you know, what times of days, you know, what hours during the day, and get a better picture of it rather than asking, how'd you hear about us? Because that just is...
It's too taxing on the client. They're coming in to do a transaction. Mm-hmm. If you ask them a non-yes or no question, mm-hmm. in other words, open-ended, mm-hmm. how many times do you use this medium to research this kind of thing? And you obviously, from that, keeping those comment cards and cataloging that information mm-hmm. can paint a wonderful picture of where you should be advertising.
Yes. And, you know, even before we go in, I know that you've done this in the past. We often will go online and try to determine what that business's customer base is nationally, if you will.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we have assumptions when we go in, and those assumptions don't bear out when you actually go in and have a look at nationally or maybe even regionally who is their customer.
Yeah. And that is key, is knowing who your buyer is,
mm-hmm.
knowing who your consumer is.
Mm-hmm.
And that covers any kind of business at all.
Yes.
You may not ever meet them personally. You may mm-hmm. not ever get a look at them to know whether their hair is blonde or not.
Mm-hmm.
But from what they can give you feedback-wise from answering or asking this simple set of questions, you can learn a lot from them.
Mm-hmm. you might even be able to do an online survey. There's a lot of companies that will produce a survey for you, send it out in an email, and maybe get some feedback on it, find out what they like and don't like. And, you know, don't be afraid to ask the hard questions, and don't be afraid to make the changes, because a lot of times the feedback you get, you know, it can seem stinging at times. But, you know, if you're seeing it on 2, 3, or 4 different cases, you know, some changes might need to be made.
I'm glad you brought that up, because interestingly enough, in a social media heavy world, people talk out there, and their audience is much bigger than it ever used to be. Mm-hmm. It's not the 20 people that you talk to when you go to church anymore. It's the 2,000 people who read your reviews. Mm-hmm. And it's how you respond to that negativity that makes or breaks your business. Mm-hmm. Really, you can say thank you to a positive review. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But when somebody rips you, and you leave their dignity intact when you respond, mm-hmm. you leave yours intact as well, and you earn new respect, and you also get a chance to adjust, win that client's heart back. Other people see that happening, and loyalty is really where this is all at. So, Roger, with just a few seconds left, one or two quick takeaways.
I think you're right about the reviews. You must respond to those. Research that we've seen shows that a huge percentage of people will not make a buyer purchase or patronize a business unless they've read reviews about them. Your website should be clean and clear, and because 90% of the people will research you online before they ever walk in the door or they ever pick up the phone to do business with you. So make sure your website's up to date. Make sure your reviews are good, but if they're not, reply to them and address the problem.
And know your customer.
Know your customer.
Roger Severson, part of the Carrier Network marketing and advertising team, thank you so much for coming here and being a resource today to our businesses who are listening.
Always a joy.
That's it for this edition of The Extra Business Edition. We'll be back next Friday.
You've been listening to The Extra Business Edition podcast with Ted Robertson, proudly serving and supporting you and the success of your business. The Extra Business Edition is a production of the KRDO Network and airs Friday mornings live at 9 a.m. on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m. and 92.5 FM. Listen live at KRDO.com and on demand at KRDO.com. Select the radio tab and click on podcasts.